Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press star zero. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.
Crazy. I have no money. Right. So if I could sell $5,000 a month worth of stuff, we would be at 30. Not that much stuff, I feel like. I've already sold 2,100 worth of stuff. I definitely want to keep doing these calls and sell people. But that is a lot. Good. No, definitely not. No, that's definitely true. We're way better than him, FYI. So, 3 minutes till I start my call. No one is on the call yet. Yes, total. Yeah, I'm good. Alright, let me go do this call, and then I will talk to you later or tomorrow or something. Alright, later.
Hey, Johnson here. Welcome to the Ask Me Anything portion of the Seduction Roadmap. So today I have about 20 questions that have come in from different guys in the Seduction Roadmap program. They're pretty wide variety of things, ranging from friends with benefits to problems showing interest and everything else kind of in between. So without further ado, I'm going to jump into the Q&A here. Hopefully you've gotten your questions in because I picked the top 20. And we'll get started right now. So first question is from Charles, and it says, "Hello, Sin. I'm invited to a friend's party soon. Do I combine sexual framing with social circle or just use social circle? How would you do this? My goal is to have sex with someone there." So when it comes to social circle game, you're going to use a low-key attraction game. Really not that much of the sexual attraction stuff. Some of the body language, maybe a little sexual teasing once you already have attraction. But you don't want to do anything breaking rapport. You want to just kind of build social comfort and then alternate qualification with grounding and framing and cold reads. You definitely want to get isolation. You definitely want to work the room in a social circle, meet everybody, talk to everyone, have, you know, a few 3-minute conversations, and then zero in on the girls that kind of are most interesting to you and seem the most interested. And that's kind of the girl you want to get into isolation with. And then the cool thing about social circle parties is that, you know, there's a lot of places to go. There's bedrooms, you know, there's outside. There's all sorts of places to go to escalate. So when it comes to social circle, you're going to kind of start in social comfort, start grounding, talking about yourself, mixing that in with qualifying, small qualifiers, things like are you adventurous, are you spontaneous, which are also sexual frames, you know, talking about yourself, and then mixing in those qualifiers, sexual frames, cold reads, isolation, working the room, doing some takeaways and using jealousy. All sorts of touching can go on in a social circle thing, but make sure that you kind of know how she knows everyone, if there's anyone that she might be uncomfortable with you touching her or her talking to you around. Kind of get that idea, too. Find out how she knows the host. Make sure that it's cool. That's basically how you'd apply this in social circle. Okay, question number 2 comes in from Yarone, and he says, SNL, I don't get it. Can't get the women to open the floodgate and have SNL. Went to a party last night. A pretty tall Jamaican woman opened me as I passed by her. I spent the rest of the party with her doing sexual framing of how she's independent, goes after what she wants. Told her I wanted to kiss her, touched her under her shirt. Okay, that's a problem right there. You don't want to go under the shirt too much. That's pretty hardcore and can make a girl uncomfortable. So that's definitely a problem. She kept telling me that I'm naughty. She also said that she likes naughty. Naughty kind of is a sign that a girl wants you to back up a little bit. Like, that's kind of a buffer. She's like, you're naughty. Even if she's saying she likes it, that's when you need to slow things down because she's letting you know things are going too fast. Later we went to another place for a drink, built comfort with her, told her I've been in a mastery learning process for a while in different phases of my life. She wanted to know what field. I said in business and personal. She wanted to know about the personal, so I said I'm learning tantric sex and how to please women sexually. She was interested to hear more, so I heard a bit more. Okay, here you're banging her over the top with the sexuality. I'm learning to please women sexually. Even if they're acting interested, it's too much. It's telegraphing. It's too obvious of a ploy. Being like, I'm learning how to please women sexually is basically like saying, I know how to make girls come. I can make you come. Like, that kind of game is just not the right way to use sexuality. You wanna make her work more for that. If you're gonna talk about that, then you wanna bait her. And then you want to explain it rather than talking about how you know how to please women sexually. You wanna stay away from that stuff and kind of frame it more so that her mind fills in the gaps. Here's where, being ambiguous can be really, really helpful for a guy, because by saying you're learning about, like, female anatomy and, like, pleasure and how to give pleasure, stuff like that is better than I'm learning how to please women sexually. Then he says, I said I wanted to suck her nipples. She said she liked that and has very large nipples. That's way too hardcore. I would never, I mean, I say things like I would bend you over and do terrible things to you, but I would never say I want to suck your nipples or anything like that. Too far out. It's too big of a meatball hanging out there. It's too big of an escalation. It makes her feel slutty. No matter how into you a girl is, like, if you haven't had sex with her yet, telling her you want to suck her nipples, unless you've already done it, is a bad idea. So stay away from those really overt sexualities. You'll notice that the ones that I give you guys, they're a little more subtle. And this is good, because you went over the line. It's better that you go over the line and mess it up than that you kind of are too scared to pull the trigger with sexuality. So this is good that you're making these mistakes your own, but it's also too much. You gotta pull it back. You gotta rein it in like 50%. Instead of like saying you wanted to suck her nipples, I might say something like, oh my god, you know, I just wanna like kiss you all over your body, but everywhere but your nipples, right? Like, you wanna build that teasing in there. You don't wanna give, into the sexuality too much. Like, you want to kind of still keep that idea that you're in control of yourself and that you're teasing her. Because if you know how to please a woman sexually, you understand that arousal and anticipation are really, really, really linked. When the videos come out about this course, I talked with my friend Amanda about the the kind of link between arousal and anticipation, and she had some really interesting things to say. But the point is, you want to always be in control of the seduction. That's why we have to slow it down. We can't say things like, I want to suck your nipples, because there's no slowing that down. Now you're already in foreplay. Like, you want to basically fuck her. And once you've given that up and she hasn't had to work for it, it becomes much harder. And now you're pursuing, you're chasing, and now it's really, it's just, you start to look sexually needy. So he continues, we left and she wanted to go home. She was determined to go home even after she escorted me to my building. She was determined not to go up with me. Yeah, because you got her turned on. Like, you did a good job of arousing her, but you also kicked in a lot of her anti-slut defense by going too far, by not allowing her to have plausible deniability. When you say, I want to suck your nipples, when she's not going to come back to your house, because what's going to happen? You're going to try to suck her nipples, right? And that's going to feel really good for her, and that's going to make her want to have sex. And she doesn't have the plausible deniability of going, you know, I just went up there to, you know, have a glass of water, or I, you know, just went up there for this, that, or the other. Like, you have to let the women maintain plausible deniability so that they don't necessarily know that they're going to have sex before they go up there. Once you get better at framing things sexually and you don't over-escalate like that, you'll see that it's actually not that hard to get girls to go past the line, but the girl has to push it. You can't be the one to go there. You have to allow her to make the final escalation to foreplay. If she goes there first, then you want to start handling logistics and getting over there. So your own continues, in the past week I met 5 new women and gave up the dates of them because I made a commitment not to go out on dates with women if I can't get them to SNL with me. I have to say, it's hard. I like all the women I meet and want to connect with them, but I want to have sex already. Well, if you kind of tone it down by like 50%, you'll probably do a lot better. You gotta kind of ease the sexuality in there. There's a lot of subtlety to this material. You can't just jerk out and throw it out there when the conversation is 180 degrees away from it. You've gotta slowly move your way there. That's why those frames are really important, because they give you a guidelines to build up to things. That's why those cold reads are important. That's why, the movement is important. That's why, getting the subject of sex out there early on is important, but not going too far, not going to the point of declaring sexual interest until you've already been making out. And even when you declare sexual interest, just declaring it with a lot of space. Not I want to, but I would if there wasn't this barrier there. You want to use those barriers to give space and objectivity to allow escalation. So instead of saying, I want to suck your nipples, I might say something like, you know, if nobody was here right now, I would kiss all over your body and make you beg for me to kiss your nipples, right? But you want to still, you have to remember that women have the power when it comes to escalation. So anything you do, you have to acknowledge that dynamic, that they hold the power. When you're, all you can do is try to escalate, right? You can't actually do anything unless she lets you. So by acknowledging that and that I'd make you beg, I'd make you ask for it, like I'd control how you feel good until you'd want more of it, that's how you keep your sexual power as opposed to just throwing it out there. So hopefully that helps. Our next question comes in from Steve. And Steve writes, hey, John, I've been having some really good success with the seduction roadmap, but I want to have friends with benefits situations. So how can I go about getting friends with benefits or booty calls without getting into a committed relationship? So once you've slept with a girl using the seduction roadmap, the key is to then define expectations with your behavior. So, for example, if you sleep with a girl and then you hang out with her the next day, you're starting to define the relationship as more serious. If you sleep with a girl and you don't call her the next day, you're starting to define the relationship as less serious. So it's all in how you treat it. Now, I personally think you should always call the girl the next day just so she doesn't feel slutty. Or text, you know, just something real quick, just a quick communication to let her know that you're not going to disappear, you still like her, you had fun last night, you know. Whatever. But then you don't want to make plans for a while if you want a friend with benefits. Friends with benefits, you're not going to see more than once a week. And even that is even going to be pushing it. Because, like, if you're seeing a girl every week, she's more than a friend with benefits. She's a girl you're seeing, right? In my kind of scale that I'm going to make up right now in terms of relationships, there's, like, booty calls. And those are girls that you only text or call late at night or when you just want to have sex. I had a booty call in Dallas for like a year and a half where literally we never left the apartment. She'd come over, we'd have sex, and then she'd leave. And that's a booty call. Those can last for a while. They're very explicit that it's not like serious. There's not a lot of emotion. It's really kind of just almost just sex. Right? So those are going to kind of depend on the girl and her situation. You can't force every girl to be a booty call. But basically if you want to kind of put a girl into a booty call status, then you would kind of text her late at night, you know, and try to get her to come over after you do the initial kind of call. Then you have kind of friends with benefits. And friends with benefits are kind of people in your social circle that you hook up with, right? So there might be a girl in my social circle now who we go out, we don't always hook up, but, you know, maybe every couple weeks or like once a month we hook up. Or like, you know, we'll hang out together once a month. And we'll have sex or something, but we won't, like, there's not a lot of calling and texting. It's mostly, like, seeing each other at events in our social circle, or, you know, other sort of things. If you meet a girl on cold approach and make her a friend with benefits, you kind of have to bring her into your friendship circle. So you'd, like, introduce her to your friends and stuff, but you'd always, you know, introduce her as a friend. And then again, you wouldn't see her that often. You'd invite her to like group events. You wouldn't really invite her to hang out one-on-one that much because the more one-on-one time you spend with a girl, the more she's going to take it as dating, right? Basically, there's like a couple different areas for girls, right? So starting really early in like middle school and high school and stuff, girls start to like separate dating from hooking up. You know, hooking up happens when they're at a party and, you know, there's someone they kind of like. They don't hang out one-on-one, but then they're there and they hook up, you know, or they're friends with a friend, and that's kind of friends with benefits, right? And then dating is one-on-one time together. So that kind of still rings true in the adult world because if you're spending one-on-one time with a girl, then you're probably dating her, whereas if you just see her out and you guys end up hooking up, then it's more of a friends with benefits thing. So that's kind of how you differentiate that. You don't really hang out with them that much one-on-one. Then you have girls that you're seeing. And girls that you're seeing, you're going to see once a week, once every 2 weeks. No more than once every 2 weeks. I mean, no less than once every 2 weeks, rather. And no more than once a week, right? Because that kind of just manages the expectations. You will get kind of relationship management tests and questions from these girls at like 6 weeks, 12 weeks, and then like 9 months. So that's also something that's interesting. And then lastly, you have girls that you're like dating. And dating generally involves monogamy or some explicit agreement that, you know, there are emotional ties beyond just the hooking up. And dating, you know, leads to moving in together and girlfriend status and eventually marriage. So that's kind of how the relationships work, and the more one-on-one time you spend with her, the more you're kind of in a dating circle, and it's really hard for girls to go backwards. So if you spend a lot of time with them up front, and then you try to go backwards, you're going to have some problems. It's really, really tough. It's much easier to go from like once a week to two or three or four times a week to a full-time girlfriend than it is to go from five times a week to once a week. Take my word for it. All right, next question. Next question comes in from Billy, and Billy says, "Hey man, I love the seduction roadmap material, but I'm just having an inner game challenge. I'm real short, and I'll paraphrase here. Basically, Billy's having some problems with his inner game and his self-image of being short. So when it comes to your kind of excuse as to why you can't get girls, basically what you have to do is you have to start looking for evidence that it's not true. So there's a lot of short guys out there with hot girls. You see it pretty frequently. It's not that hard to find. You can look at celebrities. You can look at people in clubs. You can look at couples. If you just, like, stand on a pretty well-known tourist place, you'll see, you know, hot girls with guys that are shorter than them. So it's not really that big of a deal. The second thing you've got to do is you've got to kind of find a way to compensate for it. So you can actually turn it into a strength. For example, you might be talking to a girl and, you know, she's taller than you and you might say something like, you know, this would never work out because I'm too short for you, you know, and I would overcompensate by being, you know, really overbearing and like ordering you to walk around in like flats all the time, and it would end horribly, right? By using it as a disqualifier as to why you can't be together, you're turning it kind of on itself, and you're getting it out there, you're showing that you're not uncomfortable with it, and that you're not running away from it or trying to pretend that it doesn't exist. So that's kind of what you would do tactically. Inner game-wise, you've got to just kind of replace that belief. So you want to use thought replacement, which is basically where when that thought comes in, you have kind of a performance statement or a kind of goal statement or identity statement about yourself, right? So you want to kind of take something that's good about yourself. So maybe you, like, you know, work really hard on your game and, you know, tall girl, and then you take the result you want. So maybe that's, you know, tall girls love me, right? So you want to just thought replace. So when you feel that thought coming up and you're like, oh, I'm too short for this girl, you want to kind of immediately catch yourself. I like to wear a rubber band on my wrist to kind of snap it so that I can stop myself and then repeat your identity statement, which is, you know, I work harder on my game than anyone and tall girls love me. So that kind of would be the kind of inner game thing. And, you know, draw attention to the times that you see hot girls with shorter guys, because that'll help you as well, because eventually you'll get over that. None of those kind of fat, ethnicity, short, you know, inner game questions really amount to that much. Okay. Next question. Next question comes in from Brian. And Brian writes, hey, John, I've been having a ton of success with the seduction roadmap. I had my best month ever last month with 3 lays. My question is, I've been using it in social circle, and when I use it in cold approach, I feel like it's hard to transition off of my openers and get into the sexual attraction material. Can you give me some examples of ways to transition with the seduction roadmap? Yes, I can. So when it comes to transitioning, there's 2 things we want to do. The first thing is we want to get off our opener. And the second thing is we want to get the subject of the conversation focused on the girl we're interested in. So there's 2 separate things going on, right? So we need to transition not just off the opener, but onto the girl. So there's a couple of different ways to transition. I might transition with a question. You know, I might say something like, you know, that's a really interesting shade of green that your dress is. Like, what made you pick that shade? Right? Transitioning with a question is good if you know what to follow up on your question with. So with that question, the girl might say yes. She might say no. She might say, you know, I borrowed the dress from a friend. Whatever she says, it doesn't really matter because I'm setting something up. So then I might say, yeah, you know, it reminds me of my friend Kelly. Like, she's like a total fashionista girl. And the other night, like, the 3 of us were out, me, her, and her, like, girlfriend. And her girlfriend, you know, is, like, this really aggressive kind of almost butch kind of girl. And watching them, like, pick up guys was the funniest thing ever. And there was one girl that, you know, had a dress basically that same color. And, like, they were all over each other. It was kind of crazy. So I'm thinking maybe, you know, you might be a little, like, sexually aggressive. That's what that might be. Right now, I've transitioned and I've framed her. So the whole idea here is when it comes to transitioning, you can use questions to direct. But again, the idea is to get the conversation off the opener, A, and then onto the girl, right? So my question does both. Now you don't want to always rely on questions. I could also make statements, right? I might, you know, make a statement like, that's a really, you know, interesting color green dress. It reminds me of this girl I met last night with my friend Kelly, and now I'm off. But if you're going to use a question, you want to use it to either set up a tease, a story, or a grounding kind of talk about yourself, something to relate you to the other people. So, for example, I might ask, you know, where the group's from, right? I might use that as a way of transitioning off the opener. And I go, okay, so where are you guys from? You're not from, you know, Venice Beach, obviously, which is where I live. And they'll go, you know, oh, we're from wherever. And now I can either tease them or I can relate, right? So if they're being nice, I want to relate. You know, they go, oh, we're from here. I go, awesome. You know, me too. I was born and raised, and then I moved around because, you know, I've never really had a real job. I've just kind of been doing the kind of writer-artist thing for a little while. And I find that, like, people from different coasts, like, act differently, right? Like, people on the West Coast are very blah, 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 right? But, again, I'm just relating, and now I'm grounding myself. Relating and talking about myself in an attractive manner, right? Now, let's say they're like, oh, yeah, we are from here, loser, like, wrong. You know, they're like, they're rude. I might tease them. I could be like, oh, okay, see, I thought you guys were nice, but you guys are from here. You suck, too. Right? And now I can kind of go on that, and then, again, I can ground myself, right? So we're kind of looking for how they react to let us know how to transition when we ask questions as well. And so we're looking to relate, tell stories, or tease. Another thing we can do is make observations. So observations can be canned. They can be routines like the C's versus U's routine or the best friends test. Or they can be kind of unique observations you're making in the moment. But again, observation and then direct it to the girl. So for example, you know, I might meet a group of girls and I might make an observation that they seem like they've known each other for years, you know, and I might even tease them a little that I bet they were all sorority sisters in college. Now I've moved the conversation off the opener, but I haven't caught into the girl yet, right? So now what I want to do is I want to add one more little like line to cut into the girl. So I might say something like, you know what, it seems like you guys are, like, really close friends. Like, I guarantee you guys, like, know everything about each other. Like, I bet you that you know exactly how much trouble that one is, right? And now I want to point out to the girl that I'm interested in. Because I've moved off the opener, and now I'm moving in on the girl that I'm interested in. That's the part of transitioning that a lot of people don't get. You can also use cold reads. I kind of just used a cold read there when I said they're trouble. You can use role plays, you know, fun situations, like, you know what I'm going to do with you guys, or you know what we should do. You can use phrasal transitions, things like, that reminds me of, it's just like when, questions that don't require answers, like, have you ever been to the Hollywood sign, or, you know, are you people cat people or dog people, but basically that are just set up questions to transition. Those are basically like phrasal transitions as well. And that's kind of how you're going to transition. So it's going to kind of depend. Don't be afraid to use questions, but have a plan for what you're going to do with your questions. And switch them up. Use questions and statements. You can turn any question into a statement pretty easily. So not that big of a deal if you need to keep a balance. Next question. Next question comes in from Sugarhi. I hope I said that right. And he goes, hey, John, I'm doing really good with building sexual attraction on the approach. How can I follow up and build sexual attraction using the sexual seduction roadmap? Okay, so when it comes to following up, there's a couple of things to keep in mind. One is the sexual tension, right? So if you've built some sexual attraction in the initial opener, then when you're following up, you can be a little more sexual in your innuendos, and you can be a little more flirtatious and a little more aggressive. So if I built, like, a lot of sexual attraction with a girl, you know, I might send a text message, like, there was this girl recently who had candy cane heels on. So I sent her a text message that was something like, those candy cane heels have been flashing through my mind all morning. Right. You know, if it got really sexual and, like, the only reason it got called off was logistics, and she starts to, like, escalate back, like, if she goes, oh, you know, like, I loved the way you, like, kissed my neck or something like that, then now I can go even further. But you're going to be a little more aggressive. Again, always maintaining that sexual power, though. Always maintaining the upper hand that you're in control of her feeling good, not vice versa. That's a big, big part of this escalation when it comes to follow-up game. The other thing is you want to move faster. Like with sexual attraction, it dissipates. So You want to try to get those girls out as quickly as possible, with as much tension as possible. You can also do things like, you know, like tease her. One thing I'll do a lot through text is I'll tease girls about how they can be my secretary, and then I'll send them another text that's like, actually, hold on a second, I'm just imagining the mental image right now, and that's really hot. Give me a second. Okay, now I'm back. And you can even do that in real life, too. But playing around with the idea of dressing them up and things, playing around with the idea of, like, teasing them, playing around with the idea of, like, making them work to come, all of those things are things that you can kind of expand upon in your follow-up when you have a lot of sexual attraction. All right, next question. Next question comes in from Polosh. And Polosh writes, "Hey, John. I have been using the seduction roadmap material, but I can't bring myself to do some of the ballsier things. I just have this fear of escalation that I'm going to lose all the good emotions that I've built. What can I do?" So fear of escalation kind of goes back to the first call we did on sexual anxiety. Another thing is the fear of rejection. So it's important to understand that no matter how many tactics, techniques you study, no matter how good your game is, rejection is a part of the game. Not every girl is going to kiss you. Not every girl is going to give you her phone number. Not every girl is going to isolate. Not every girl is going to fuck you. So you have to understand that you will get rejected, even if you do everything right. Sometimes. Not all the time, though. But rejection is a part of the game. So by understanding that, you need to start looking at rejection less as a never and more as a not right now. So let's say I'm talking to a girl and I try to kiss her and she turns her cheek. I'm not going to get mad. I'm not going to be like, what the fuck? I'm not going to be like, oh, I guess I'm a loser. I should go talk to my friends. I'm just going to act like it didn't happen. You know, maybe I'll make a joke of that, and I'll be like, that's all right, we're not ready for that yet, that's cool. But I'm not going to get bent out of shape, I'm not going to freak out, and I'm not going to leave, because just because she doesn't want to kiss me now doesn't mean she's not going to want to kiss me in 5 minutes, 10 minutes, or an hour. So you've got to learn to, in the moment, look at them as not yet, and just back up and try again later. And later on, in the grand scheme of things, rejection is good. The more you get rejected, the more you get laid. It's much better to get rejected and know definitively that girl wasn't going to have sex with you. Because guess what? If she's not going to kiss you or isolate with you or give you her phone number, she's not going to bang you. Like, so your basic goal of going out to find a girl who's going to have sex with you, like, this ain't happening with this chick because she's not down. So getting that out of the way is good. The real enemy is those, like, 20-minute sets to nowhere where the girl's not going to have sex with you and you stay in there for forever. You know, you want to be moving things forward. If the girls, and I'm not saying every girl has to have sex with you the first night they meet you or anything like that, but if the girl's not giving you obvious signs that she's interested in, you know, dating you, you know, kissing you, and eventually having sex, then you need to move on. And that will happen from time to time. It's not your fault. It's not anything you did. It's just the way of the world. So, I'd say when it comes to fear of escalation, you want to have waypoints. For me, like, the big ones were, like, isolation, having a way to isolate the girl, you know, just a little phrase that you're going to say, having a way to go for the kiss, having a way to go for the phone number, and having a way to go for the pull. If you just have those four things, then even when you're freaked out, you'll have something to go to. I remember when I first started getting good at same-night lays, my buddy Jason, Captain Jack, and I would go out, and he would do the pulls, and then I would start to do them. I'd be like, hey, do you guys want to come do something afterwards, maybe? And it was just weak, because I was scared, right? And then, I thought that if I was inviting a girl to hang out, and she didn't hang out, then she wouldn't hang out with me on the phone, or I would just wreck my set, or this, that, or the other. She'd think I was sleazy. And then, you know, a month or two into it, I got really good at it, and then I was the one leading the polls. And that's just kind of the way it goes. You're not going to be good at it at first, like, and it's going to be awkward, but as you do it more and more, you get better. Like, that's just the way these skills go until eventually you become really smooth with it, and then that's where you have to actually slow your escalations down because you're going too fast for the girl. And then you kind of have to slow down. So it's first it's a process of like trying to over escalate, and then it's a process of learning when to tone it down. And that's with everything. That's kind of what calibration is and what learning this stuff really entails, is overdoing it and then pulling it back, overdoing it and pulling it back. Next question. Funny. Next question comes in from Barney, and Barney writes, I've been doing great with the seduction roadmap. I had two lays last week, one from Social Circle and one from the Internet, all using this stuff in the nonverbal communication. I do have a question, though. I think that I over-escalate, but would you tell me the difference between over-escalating and under-escalating, and which one is worse? Yes, I can definitely do that. So under-escalating versus over-escalating is a really, really easy decision. You want to over-escalate, because here's what happens. With girls, they have cognitive dissonance. So you're talking to a girl for 20, 30 minutes, and you haven't done anything to let her know you like her, right? Verbally, physically, logistically. Or maybe you've done logistics. Maybe you're talking to her one-on-one, but you're not telling her you like her, you're not hitting on her, you're not trying to kiss her, anything like that. What's going to happen is she's going to have to rationalize why you're doing that. And she can rationalize it like, you know, she's not your type, but most of the time a girl's not going to think that. Most of the time the girl's going to think, oh, he's not interested or he's a pussy, right? And you'll actually lose more girls because if they actually think you're not interested or they think you're a pussy, they become less attractive. And I've seen that happen where girls have been attracted, been waiting for a guy to make a move, and he never does it, and then the attraction just drops. Now, on the other hand, what happens when you over-escalate? As my buddy Brad P. likes to call it, blow me or blow me out game. Well, here's what happens. Sometimes you're going to have bad blowouts. You might get sexual with a girl who gets really uncomfortable with it. You might, you know, try to kiss a girl who's not ready. But you're also going to get the girls that you weren't sure about. You know, the girls when you're not sure, if you just decide to escalate them with every girl, the ones that are on the fence, a lot of the time they're down. And to me, it's way better to over-escalate and blow it than it is to under-escalate and not know. Now, there are certain situations, like every girl is different. We'll talk about that when we get to types of girls down the line. But most of the time, most girls are going to be pretty comfortable with a decent amount of escalation in a nightclub, verbally, physically, and logistically. And some girls, you know, are going to be really religious or, you know, young and inexperienced or whatever. But for the most part, you know, the stuff works as we've laid it out. But the thing everyone should do is you should go out and over-escalate just to see what happens. Because you'll see that the blowouts aren't that bad. And then a lot of the time you escalate and the girls are down. I remember when I first realized that you could just basically tell girls you wanted to sleep with them. And, like, sometimes they would be down if they were attracted to you. It was really, like, a mind-blowing experience because once girls are attracted, they want you to put that sexuality out there, but they don't want you to put it out until they're attracted, and a lot of the time until they're qualified. So it's kind of a myriad longer process, but you definitely want to over-escalate as opposed to under-escalating. Under-escalating, you don't gain anything. You don't gain any power. The girls don't feel like you're better than them. They just kind of think you're a pussy. Next question. This question comes in from Dan, and he goes, I'm getting a lot of first dates, but not a lot of second dates. How can I ensure a second date? My first solution for that is make sure you sleep with the girl. If you sleep with the girl, you can pretty much guarantee a second date. Like, it's very few and far between that the girl will sleep with you and then not want to hang out again. Now, obviously, the biggest thing to ensure a second date is to not do last-minute resistance. That, to me, is the thing that really separates guys who get first dates from guys who get second dates. So here's kind of the situation. You want to set up your date correctly, which means she comes to meet you at your house. If you can, get her to leave your purse. I talk about that in the dating CD. If not, you know, get her to at least leave her car there and then invite her up at the end. And then you should be able to at least make out with her. Now, if you're making out and you try to go for the boobs, you know, or anything, and she starts to stop you, you need to just stop. That's the biggest thing that ensures second dates. The biggest thing that girls tell me, my female friends, or, you know, girls I debrief afterwards, is that a guy like gets too sexually pushy, they're just are not going to go out with him again. And I've seen it so many times when I used to do last minute resistance and like actually actively try to get through it. You know, girls who really liked me would stop calling me back. They wouldn't sleep with me, and then I'd keep pushing and pushing, and then eventually they'd, you know, stop calling me back. So that's the biggest thing. If you're making out and she wants to stop, just stop. Don't, like, end the date or anything, but just keep hanging out. And if she starts to escalate again, then let her. But if not, just end it. Because if a girl's making out with you in your apartment, she's not all of a sudden going to stop liking you. You know, if she's there and it's gone to that place, then you should be able to see her again. The key is just making her comfortable. Making her comfortable, making her not feel like you're trying to take advantage of her or you're just interested in sex. Those things will ensure second dates. Next question. Next question comes in from Zach, and Zach writes, I have a problem staying in set. I can recite all the material at home when I practice it, but for some reason I blank or I get really uncomfortable and don't want to stay in the interaction. What can I do? Okay, so this is a pretty common problem. The first thing is to set a bare minimum amount of time that you're going to stay in set for. And so for me, like, I'll say, you know, like 2 minutes during the day, 5 minutes at night. Because by then you kind of have an idea of where it's going to go. So that means that when you get in those conversations, I mean, sometimes you can time yourself before, check your cell phone, and then, you know, keep going and see how you did. But the idea is to just stay in as long as you possibly can, or at least for a minimum, and start adding time. Because that's a big problem. When you get out of set, you basically take yourself out of the game. You're quitting on that set, and you're saying, okay, this isn't going to work. And a lot of the time, the girls are just neutral. They don't even dislike you. They're just neutral. You could do things to turn it around if you kept in there and you kept trying to use techniques and tactics as opposed to just standing there in silence or, you know, asking questions, which for some reason is what guys kind of default into even when they know this material backwards and forwards. So that's the big thing. Have enough material that you can get through that time if you have 5 minutes. And I don't mean word for word material, but have an idea like, okay, I'm going to use a sexual tease, then I'm going to use a sexual story, then I'm going to use a grounding, then I'm going to use a cold read and a role play and blah, blah, blah. Have an idea of what you're going to use tactically and keep going until you reach your time limit. That's the big thing. And if the girls try to leave, then you've done a good job. You know, like if they leave, you've done everything you can. You can't force people to stay, you know, but make sure that you're making them leave or you're getting to your time limit and that you're using tactics. Cause a lot of the time guys, you know, they blank up and they don't use tactics. So write them down, put them in your phone, look at them if you have to, but make sure that you stay in for a set amount of time and that you use tactics. Next question comes in from Saeed, and Saeed writes, how can I escalate with not being needy? I feel like every escalation I make is needy if girl says no. How can I fix? Okay, Saeed. Basically, here's the thing. Okay, the world will want you to believe, especially David DeAngelo, if you guys came in through his stuff, that any sort of interest in a woman is needy. Women want to be hit on by guys they're attracted to. You don't want to start showing too much interest in a woman until she's at least given you some interest. Now, that could be talking to you for 2 minutes on a street corner, right? If a girl's talking to me for 2 minutes on a street, I can start to show some interest without feeling needy or being needy because she could be walking away, right? You know, if a girl's talking to me for 5-10 minutes in a club, I can start to show some interest. Showing interest is not needy. It's needy to ask a girl if she likes you all the time. It's needy to ask a girl if she's okay or to ask her if anything's wrong or to, you know, look for credit for doing things or want, you know, appreciation for everything you're doing or to kind of want her to constantly validate you on your insecurities. All of those things are needy. But, like, telling girls you like them, not needy. Complimenting girls, not needy. Telling girls you want to have sex with them, not needy. Touching girls, not needy. Telling girls you like them, not needy. Qualifying girls, not needy. Asking a girl out, not needy. Asking for her phone number, not needy. All these things are not needy. So it's really important that you kind of separate the idea of escalation from neediness. It's not needy to escalate the interaction. It's needy to be insecure and need constant validation from the girl that everything's okay and that she likes you. That's needy. Escalating and moving things forward is not needy at all. So all of the things we're doing, and also remember, if you think you're coming on too strong, there's a difference between being needy and coming on too strong that a lot of guys kind of don't understand. Coming on too strong is kind of like where the guy talked about wanting to suck the girl's nipples. You can always use releases if you think you're coming on too strong. So, for example, if I meet a girl and I'm really into her and I say something like, you know what, I am so glad we met. Like, you are absolutely amazing. Like, I really feel like we're, like, super connected. I might, because that's such a big compliment, I might then use a release to back away from it. You know, so I might say something like, too bad you're such a dork. But that's really just if she's starting to get too uncomfortable and she, you know, needs me to back off a little bit. Other than that, you're pretty good. So that's kind of some things to keep in mind when it comes to neediness. But it's not needy to escalate. Okay. Next question comes in from Ron. And this question is, how do I know when to move a girl? I'm not sure when I should go for it. Okay, so there's no, like, hard, fast answer for that, obviously. But the basic one is about 10 minutes in. If you're talking to a girl in a group and you've been talking to her for about 10 minutes, you can assume that she's attracted to you. If you've been getting good signal, she's touching, flirting, answering questions, laughing, maybe you've done a small qualifier or a medium qualifier on her. But she's giving you some good signs, and the group is comfortable with you talking to her. That's when you want to go for isolation. You don't want to do it too soon because it's a really big compliance trap to fall into. If you say something like, you know, I'm going to the bar to get a drink, keep me company, and the girl says no, you have to walk away at that point. Like, you have to go. And that basically means that you have to end the interaction for now. It doesn't mean that you have to end it for forever. But it does mean you need to end it for now. So that's kind of, you want to do it about 10 minutes in once you think you have attraction. Next question comes in from Timothy. And Timothy writes, another question on movement. He goes, hey, Sin, seduction roadmap's great. Do have one question. I try to move girls after I have attraction, and they won't move. What do I do next? So like I said, if you try to move a girl and she doesn't come, then you've lost a lot of momentum. So what you need to do is you need to do a takeaway. And I suggest that you also do some jealousy. So you do a takeaway, and then you go talk to some other girls in her line of sight. That'll make a really big difference because showing that willingness to walk away is really important, and it also gives her some time to, if she was attracted to you, get a little jealous as well. So that's what you do. Like, if you say you've made up an excuse to isolate, which is all you need when you're trying to isolate, you just need to say something like, you know, I'm going to go to the bar, keep me company, or I want to sit down. But you have an excuse, so if they say, you know, I don't want to go, you go, all right, cool, I'm going to go. Maybe I'll see you later in the night. And then you go do what you got to do. Go talk to some girls in her line of sight and then come back maybe 15, 20 minutes later. And that's just a takeaway. You've kind of done it as far as you can go. You got a big roadblock and now you have to kind of punish that bad behavior by doing a takeaway and making her jealous. Next question comes in from Robert, and Robert writes, what do you do if the girl walks away during your transition during the daytime? If she walks away, she walks away. But one thing I would say is you want to throw out some bait in your transition. or use an open loop to keep the girl's attention. You got to get them hooked in early with those open loops and those hooks, right? So, like, let's say I'm using the C's versus U's routine as my transition. I might say something like, oh, my God, you have a U-shaped smile, like right after my opener. And then when she's like, what is that? I'll launch into the whole thing about C's versus U's. And somewhere in there, I want to put some bait or a hook. I want to be like, you know, you also kind of like remind me of my ex, but she was like, actually, I shouldn't even tell you this. Like, I don't know you, you know, at all. I don't know you from a hole in the wall, so I shouldn't tell you this stuff. At which point they'll go, no, tell me. And then you can kind of cold read them. Because again, remember, the key to the transition is getting the conversation onto the other girl. So even an observation is not as good as a cold read, because cold reads are intriguing, right? If you can kind of get to a cold read or a role play or something fun for them, that'll keep them from walking away a lot. And I mean, another thing you can do during the day is you can also just demonstrate direct interest if they're starting to walk away. Like if the girl is starting to leave, you could be like, wait, I was trying to hit on you. And, you know, that's not always going to turn it around, but sometimes, you know, if the girl's interested and she just, you know, really didn't think you were trying to talk to her, she thought you were just being too indirect, you can kind of turn things around like that. Next question. Next question comes in from Richard, and Richard says, I have really bad approach anxiety during the daytime. I feel like everyone's watching me and judging. What can I do to get over approaching when people are watching? Yeah, that's a tough one. That's definitely something that affects people. You've got to just take a deep breath. Understand that people will watch, especially during the daytime. It's very, 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 very uber rare that they will actually get involved, but they will look just because it's interesting, especially if you went direct or especially if it's a more low-key setting like a bookstore or something. But for the most part, most people aren't going to interject or anything, and they don't really care. You're not the center of the universe, so they're not really tripping about it too much. But it is tough. You just gotta start. You could start by maybe going really indirect, like just asking the girl a question in front of people and then walking away, and just kind of build up your progressive tolerance to it. And also just kind of going building up step by step by step. Next question. Next question comes in from Mark, and Mark writes, I have trouble motivating myself to get out and actually start doing approaches. Can you give me some advice on motivating myself? Well, Mark, I'd say motivation for this stuff comes from either running away from pain or running towards pleasure. So you're either going to motivate yourself based on the things you want, which are the hot girls, the, you know, lifestyle of dating a lot of women or having a girlfriend, you know, the rewards basically that you're going to get from this process. Now, those rewards may not come for a decent amount of time. It may take a little while to start getting those rewards. Now, the other thing you can do is motivate yourself by kind of getting away from what you don't want, getting away from the loneliness, the frustration, the sadness, you know, seeing those approaches as an avenue out of bad emotions and into good is another way of motivating yourself. But the big thing is to just find some ways to make yourself accountable, I would say. The first thing is just set a number of approaches. Don't be overly ambitious, you know, because you don't want to set yourself up to fail. You instead want to set yourself up to start building towards success. So you want to set a couple of numbers of approaches. You know, you might say, like, if you haven't done any approaches in a year of reading material, maybe, like, you'll do 5 approaches this week, you know. And you just want to kind of build from there. But the whole thing is, cold approach is difficult, you know, it's not super easy, it takes work, it takes a decent amount of dedication and consistency and willingness to push yourself out there and through your comfort zone in order to kind of accomplish things. And that's kind of the way it works. So if you can accept that, then you can kind of motivate yourself to move forward. But if you can't, or you expect it to be something other than it's, than what it is, you're going to have, you know, a decent amount of problems. And that's just the nature of the beast, because that's how everyone gets better, is we get better through practice and through going out there in the real world and getting situations that, you know, you can't simulate. So, next question. Next question comes from Chase, and Chase writes, I have had a ton of success with the Seduction Roadmap. The only problem is it hasn't been with the girls that I've wanted. I've been doing great with sevens and eights, but I have a hard time approaching hotter girls. I get really nervous and uncomfortable. My voice even cracks, and I want to get out of there as quickly as possible. Can you give me some tips on approaching the hotties? Yeah, there's definitely a physical reaction that comes from approaching girls that are hotter, that you think are more attractive, and you have to kind of get used to it. Like, especially if you haven't, like, ever talked to those girls, especially if you haven't spent a decent amount of time around them, and especially if you've just been approaching other types of girls, because there's a few things that they do that react differently than the other girls that are not as hot. And you just have to kind of get used to the fact that sometimes you think girls are hot and you're nervous about it, where other people, you know, wouldn't be nervous at all. That happens all the time. So remember that there's no, like, set scale for how hot someone is, and people kind of vary. But the big thing I would say is you want to keep yourself relaxed. You want to keep yourself breathing. You want to make sure that you are relaxed in your body language. You want to make sure that you have your transitions ready so that you're not trying to improv on the fly. You want to be ready to tease if they're not being super nice. And you want to be prepared for kind of any situation that you could get involved with in that approach. So mostly it's a mental thing and an exposure thing. So the more you do it, the better you'll get at it. But you have to just force yourself to do it, even if you just ask them a question and walk away. That's better than not doing it, because there's really no way to simulate that. Next question. This is our second to last question here. Our second to last question is from Mr. Fluirian, F-L-U-I-R-I-N, and he writes, hey, Sin, I feel like my age is a problem. I am 46, and I want to meet a girl who's in her mid-20s. Can you help me? Yeah, I mean, the thing with age is that it can be a problem or it can be an attractive factor. Women tend to like older men, and they tend to go for them, but they don't tend to go for them if they're acting like 22-year-olds or they're kind of presenting themselves in the same way as the 22-year-olds. So you kind of need to be more refined. You need to be more of an authority figure. You need to be more kind of calm and non-reactive and in control of yourself and the situation for that to work. So short answer, yeah, it definitely can work. I know a lot of guys in their 50s who have dated girls in their 20s, even in their, I think one guy is like 60. So it definitely can work. You don't need to be rich or have any kind of magic pill. The key is to not make it a big deal, or again, like the short thing, to turn it into a disqualifier and a reason why you can't be with the girl. That's really the key process here. So keep that in mind. Remember, tune your reticular activation system to find evidence to support the belief that age is not a big deal, and use it as a disqualifier tactically. That's really how to deal with any of those inner game issues. Last question comes in from Christian, and Christian writes, "Hey, Sin, I'm doing a decent amount of approaches, but I have a real problem showing interest. It seems like every time I want to demonstrate interest in a girl, I chicken out. What can you tell me to help me man up?" I love questions like that. I would say when it comes to showing interest, again, you want to have stock ways to do it. By having a stock way of showing interest, maybe it's a statement of intent like, I think you're really sexy, or, you know, you have no idea what I'm thinking about doing to you, or, you know, I'm totally trying to get in your pants, or I'm totally hitting on you, or I really like you, you know, or you're really awesome. But something to give her an idea that you're interested in her in more of a way, verbally. And then physically, you've got to just over-escalate. And logistically, like 10 minutes in, you've got to go for that one-on-one conversation. So if you can do those things, showing interest won't be a problem. The idea is you want to be able to verbally, physically, and logistically escalate. And if you can do that, they're going to feel your interest and your intent. But you've got to pull the trigger, and you've got to be willing to get rejected. You know, that's the flip side of the coin, is that you can get rejected doing this, and that can definitely scare some guys. So you've got to just man up. It's never as bad as you think it's going to be. And ultimately, you're learning a skill set. So in exchange for getting rejected, you're learning the skills that will enable you to get, you know, a ton of beautiful women into your life, or find that one girl if that's what you want. So that's kind of the way to motivate yourself to do that. Anyway, those were all the questions we received throughout this entire Seduction Roadmap process. So we've now answered all the questions we've gotten, and there really were some great things on here. I mean, over here we've talked about things like social circle game, same-night lays. We talked about using the Seduction Roadmap to get friends with benefits. We talked about, you know, inner game challenges like being short or your age being a problem. We talked about how to deal with those tactically and inner game-wise. We talked about how to follow up. We talked about fear of escalating, under-escalating versus over-escalating, second dates, problems staying in set, escalating without being needy, the waypoints to move girls, what to do if girls won't move, what to do if girls walk away, and how to prevent that, what you can do to get over approaching when people are watching, having trouble motivating yourself, approaching hotter girls, and problems with showing interest. So hopefully that wraps up everything. This has been a great program. I know you guys have gotten a ton of value out of it. It's been really fun for me to teach these advanced concepts and a really kind of simple way to get laid. So I hope everyone's enjoyed this, and I thank you all for being a part of it. Talk to you next time.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID, followed by the pound key. Thank you. Guest ID accepted. For help with guest options, press *0. The moderator has not yet joined the conference. Please stand by.